Scripture's been read for your hearing. Hopefully you still have your Bibles open, your Bible apps open. I do not want anybody missing anything, because if I mess up somewhere, you need to know. Okay? The importance of having your Bible is so that you can what? Fact check. Something the world don't know about anymore. Fact checking. Bible gives you instant access to fact check. I want to talk from this thought. More work to do. It got real quiet. There's more work to do. Look at somebody and say, there's more work to do. So, we're at the end of this long string of messages that have basically encompassed about four chapters in the book of Mark. And we have come to the end of a journey that last week we defined as being a struggle. Because as the disciples were going to the other side, and they were struggling to their next destination, winds were trying to push on them. They were dealing with resistance. But of course, it wasn't until Jesus came from rejuvenating himself and getting the crowd to disperse back to their homes, the crowd that was fed and they ate from a two-piece fish lunch, five loaves of bread that was continuously multiplied. Jesus dispersed the crowd. He went to pray, and in his mind, he felt it was necessary that he would meet the disciples. But like I said last week, at least at Wesley, I don't remember if I said it here at Claire, Jesus did Jesus-like things and decided he was going to take a stroll on the water in the middle of the pitch black between 3 and 5 a.m. Yes, and he intended to walk by the disciples that were struggling on a boat. I want you to hear what I said. They were struggling on a boat. The boat, the wind was causing the boat to struggle as they were trying to travel through it. But Jesus made up in his mind that at the early hours of the morning, he was going to do Jesus-like things and decide to walk on water and try to pass them by. So he was trying to pass them by, walking on water, walking through horrible winds. And then they saw him. And when they saw him, thought it was a ghost. And he said, hey, ain't a ghost, it's just me. Just let me on the ship. And when he walked on the ship, the wind ceased. Yes. He didn't have to open up his mouth, didn't have to do anything. So now we finally come to the place where they're at Gennesaret. They finally land there. And as they are tying down the boat, doing all the work that's necessary to handle the ship, the people came out. The people came out. As they got off the boat, they came out and they saw Jesus, and on sight, they knew who he was. They didn't even give the brother time to breathe. They started bringing all the sick they could find. From the time he came off the boat, the sick came from everywhere. He tried to walk through villages, couldn't get no rest, because the sick that were on beds and being brought by family members and all that stuff came, and Jesus healed them. He couldn't even go to the store, the marketplace. Sent came to the marketplace and they said, we need a touch from you. Everywhere this man went, folk came from miles and miles and miles, and they kept coming and he kept working. I mean, that's the simplest way to sum up the text. But for us, I think I need to just lay out some groundwork. Because you see, the interesting thing about being the church is that in a setting like this, worship's been wonderful, singing has been great, everything has been just wonderful. I believe the food gonna be good too. Everything's about to be just wonderful. You know, pews are full and people are here. But can I tell you something that you already know? This ain't church work. Let me say that one more again. Just showing up ain't church work. Because the church is a group of baptized believers. And since it's us, the people, Jesus shows us that the work of the church is not confined to the four walls of this place. Which means that after we get our shout on, after we have our time together and we love on each other and we eat everything that's around and we talk about all the stuff we ain't got no business talking about, because I know it's going to happen. After we go around and try our best to try to sneak around and talk in each other's ears and halfway gossip about stuff that ain't worth talking about, don't worry, I ain't judging you. I'm just telling you what I know from growing up in the church. After we do all that, there's still work to do. And the work doesn't begin until you leave out of here. Because the reality is, people are still in this world looking for somebody or something to let them know that their life actually makes sense. They're searching high, they're searching low, they're looking for anybody to affirm that their existence makes sense. Who better than the Church of the Living God? Because if there's one thing we ought to know, is that the God we serve affirmed the fact that our lives are important. Think about how God created humanity. God created humanity in image and likeness of God's self. Have you ever thought about that? God literally took the essence of who God is, went down into the earth that God created to build up some dust, and then put the essence of God's self into this being, and man became a living soul after God breathed into nothing but dust and made that dust turn into something animating. And then after that, saying that man shouldn't be alone, decided to take the essence of God's self that was created in man and took out the rib that was still a part of who God is, took that rib and fashioned the baddest thing that's ever walked the earth, woman, and decided that there's enough of me to go around and that I want to make this look and sound just like me, and gave the authority to humanity to rule the earth just like God ruled the universe. But somewhere along the line, we forgot that we were actually made in the image of a God that is limitless. So now we live in a world where we decide, I'm going to put a limit on you. I'm going to put a limit on you. I'm going to put a limit on you. I'm going to judge you because you're black. I'm going to judge you because you're a woman. I'm going to try to keep you out because you can't do this. You can't do that. I'm trying to maintain my kingdom. I don't need you. You don't need me. So when you live in a world like that, people are always looking for somebody, somewhere, to affirm the fact that they're not helpless and hopeless. They want somebody to say, you can be made whole. Jesus got off the boat and somebody saw him. And the moment he got off, they ran. They began telling everybody. They began rushing the master. When you walk out of here, you may not believe this, but whatever God has placed on you, there are people that are looking for it. There are people that are trying to be around it, not because they have any ill will or any preconceived anything, but it's because it's something they haven't seen before. So you don't, do you know that some people don't know what the love of God looks like in the form of a hug? Do you know there's some people that don't even know what it's like for someone to actually have the common courtesy to say hi? They're looking for something that others can't give. Now listen, I know with both Wesley Church of Hope and Claire being in the house, I get the opportunity to cover everything in one shot. I want everybody to understand between both churches. No matter how far we get, there's always a work to do.
Amen. All right, now.
I don't want anybody to feel comfortable, at least as long as I'm pastor. Because even if both churches become full, don't get comfortable.
All right.
Because God says there are still people to be reached. People need to know that God is not dead but alive. People need to know that the church is not four walls, but it's active and alive through the people. So just in case you didn't know that there's more work to do, I want to give you three indicators and I'm finished. Here are the signs that there's always a continuation of kingdom work. Number one, the need will make a demand on your anointed purpose. The need will make a demand on your anointed purpose. Some people don't realize this, but let me say it a different way. Let me just tell this story. I was talking with someone and they were discussing their pastor and their attitude towards how tired they get after church on Sunday. And this individual I know very well. My family knows very well. This person works with this pastor closely and raised a question about how, you know, just seeing how others feel after they minister on the day. One person said, look, when I'm done preaching and teaching and all that stuff, I'm wore out. And I'm ready to just, you know, go somewhere and sit down. Because it's just hard after all that. But then they also said, but you know what gives me life? Being around the people. Because the people don't really wear me out. Because there's always something that they might need. And I know that God has blessed me to be able to what? Be with them. And I was like, wow, that's great to hear. But then I was told about the senior pastor's response, which personally I didn't understand. He said, you know what really wears me out? The people do. Because I just can't deal with all that. I can preach every single service we have. But what wears me out is when people come around and they ask about this and they want me to do this and want me to do that. I found that to be awkward. Because the truth of the matter is, no matter what we do, and I'm talking first about pastors and then about all of us as people, we are in the people business. We, as the church, are in the people business. And if you get tired of folk, let me qualify. Sometimes you need to step back so you don't become tired of people. There is such a thing as self-preservation and self-care. But if you all of a sudden get tired of people, then you missed what Jesus cared about. Jesus just got off the boat. And they saw him. And they brought all the sick. You don't see anywhere where Jesus said, nah, you need to go on home. I'm going to set up a revival and then all y'all come together at one time. No, Jesus went out there. He laid hands and people recovered. People touched his clothes and they recovered. Because here it is, what God has purposed you to do is anointed by nature. And the need will make a demand to withdraw from that what they need to come up and be empowered to be the people they ought to be. So don't you ever get weary in the fact that you're out there talking with people and people are talking to you. Don't get tired yet, because if God put it on you and God positioned you to be in that space, that means God gave you everything you need to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. Wait for it, and he will what? Replenish you so that you can keep on running. The reason that churches get the identity of being country clubs is because people have lost the nerve about being in the people business. We ain't a country club. My God, if we were a country club, there's a whole lot of us behind on our dues. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Just for you, I'll say it again. If we a country club, we are behind on our dues. This is not a social club. This is not a country club. This is not a place where you or I get to tell folk that under these conditions you can show up. Oh, no, 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 no. We are the church, which means that we have to let folk know that the Lord is real. Yes. Jesus died, Jesus lives, and Jesus lives forever. Oh, yeah, I know that made y'all nervous. That's cool. Number two. Another indicator is that word spreads about God's work in you. Word spreads about God's work in you. Y'all know what do you think is the fastest advertising model in business? Word of mouth. All these years, all this technology, all this stuff that we have, and still undefeated in advertising is word of mouth. I find out more about clothing stores, food places, other things by people's account than anything else. See, when some people tell me that a certain food place might be good, I always have to sit back and assess that recommendation. Because some people talking about food don't need to talk about food. I'm going to tell y'all now, the only way you can eat somewhere for real and enjoy it, you ask somebody that likes to eat. Yes, sir. Don't ask nobody that don't put no seasoning on their stuff. Don't ask nobody. Ask somebody that likes to eat. Don't be wasting your time with somebody that don't know how to eat, how to prepare stuff. They don't know the difference between salt and flour. Yeah, I didn't even say salt and sugar. That's deep, baby. I know y'all like, wait a minute. Like, no, there's some people don't know the difference between salt and flour, okay? You got to know from somebody that has what? A personal account. Yes, sir. Y'all see where I'm going? People don't care how much you go to Clare United Methodist Church. And folk don't care how much you go to Wesley Church of Hope. You know what they care about? Do you know the God of the church? And the only way they know about if you know the God of the church is by how you talk about the God of the church. And nobody's going to really pay attention to any of this other. You can talk about all the stuff going on at your local congregation. Nobody cares about that. When you live in a world that we have a country that is run by a liar and a cheater, they want to know, where can I go to get some truth? And the only way they're going to know is because the word has got to spread. And when the word spreads, you ain't got to do a whole lot of extra work. Just show up. And when you show up, people will know that there's something about you that's different. You're not going in the name of the United Methodist Church. When you show up somewhere, you'll be able to say, I come in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody in here that still knows about coming in the name? Okay, give me about 2 good minutes. Anybody in here know that when you show up anywhere, that somebody ought to know that you know who Jesus is? I don't care where you go. You go to the store. You you ain't even singing, but something about you is different. And they know that you're rocking back and forth because you thought about what the Lord had done for you. You thought about the days you were broke. You thought about the days you didn't have nothing. And somehow, as you're walking down the aisle, you're saying, thank you, Lord, I can get what I want. Thank you, Lord, I can go to the top shelf. Thank you, I can get a name brand, because there was a day when I couldn't do it by myself. But the Lord, you realize that when you were in your sick bed and he still got you up, ain't nobody but the Lord. Somebody needs to know for themselves what the Lord has done. You got to spread that word. The word has got to spread. And they want to know what you about by the word that spread. They came from everywhere because they heard that Jesus was in town. One more thing, I'm done. One more thing, I'm finished. Last sign that indicates the continuation of the kingdom work is that, here we go, God will remove the restrictions and boundaries for you to fulfill your mission.
Well, thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Y'all ready for this?
Come on.
Look at what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus did. He got off the boat, right? Fred, he got off the boat.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And when he got off the boat, they recognized him, and they started coming. Text says to this effect, every village he went to, every place he went, even the marketplace, public places, private places, homes, all that stuff, they came. They brought the bands. Nowhere do you see it be said that he did this work in the temple. Nowhere do you see that this work was being done in the synagogue. Y'all read it, right? Am I lying? Nowhere does it say that he started and established a conference specific to healing.
All right. Come on. All right.
Nowhere in the text does it say, and even though we're having a special day, nowhere does it say that Jesus had a special day in order to draw more people so he could do this work. See, I'm trying to set us up for next week. Because when this is over, we got next week, and guess what? Folks still need to show up. So in order for people to show up, you can't just pray them in. Sometimes you got to be present in the places, wait for it, where nobody else wants to go. Which means that you don't just get to be saved in here. You still saved when you leave here, right? That means when you go to your organizational meetings, be saved there too. Yes, I said it. When you go to your club meetings, guess what? Still be saved there. When you go to the store, be saved there. Let somebody know that this thing is not a Sunday thing. Oh, I wish I could go back in time and look at some folk that all they wanted to do was be Sunday morning saints and all about a bunch of hell the rest of the week. I wish I could go back and I could look at folk that would smile in my face on Sunday, but by Sunday afternoon plot on my I wish I could go back in time and tell folk that did me wrong, that you don't have to do all that to get ahead. I wish I could go back and help some folk save their own lives by getting rid of the hate in their heart by trying to cover it up with religion. I wish I could go back in time and tell a John MacArthur who is now a pariah that yes, you're going to learn some stuff, but some of your teachers really don't believe in the melanated Jesus that we do. I wish I could go back and tell some folk that the day was going to come when Jesus' words and the words of God will come through. That in the last day, that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh and your sons and daughters will prophesy. I wish I could go back and tell some folk, while you're preoccupied with building up your own kingdom, the kingdom of our God is much greater than any puny thing you can come up with. I wish I could talk to some folk that are in our denomination right now that all they want to do is fight, but they don't want to talk about Jesus no more. I wish I could go and go down some of y'all streets and run into some of y'all neighbors who always want to talk about Jesus in this space, but don't want to be bothered with you when they see you. I wish I could. But I want you to know that since I can't go back in time, and since none of us can go back in time, all we have is right now. And right now, there are people that need to know that Jesus is alive. Right now, there are people that need to know that Jesus is a healer. Right now, there are people that need to know that Jesus still saves. Right now, people need to know that Jesus can pick you up from the guttermost to the uttermost. There are people that need to know that. So don't be scared in where you might need to go. Don't worry about where your feet may go. Because if the Lord be with you, that means he's going to give you everything you need to be able to help somebody. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, then my living, it's not in vain. Is there anybody in here that's not ashamed to say that I believe in the power of the Holy One? That I still believe that Jesus did die and rise again? Is there anybody in here that believes that the Lord will take care of you? Be not dismayed. Whatever be time, God will take care of you. Is there anybody in here that knows about his amazing grace? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You know what? I'm grateful for the things that he has done. I'm so grateful for the victories that I've won. I could go on and on and on about his work because I'm grateful, so grateful, so grateful. Just to bless you, Lord, flowing from my heart on the issues of my heart. And guess what that is? It's gratefulness. Is there anybody here that knows that the Lord is so good, that the Lord is so kind, that the Lord is able to keep you from falling and present you in a way that nobody has ever seen you before? Is there anybody up in here that knows that God is real? Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure